We're so glad that you are here at the Family Church this Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We have almost made it to Christmas Day. You can feel the anticipation in the air, especially if there's an 11-year-old living in your house. They tend to vibrate at a higher and higher pitch as the days get closer. And we have anticipation in our house. Question for you tonight, what are you waiting for? Maybe you're waiting for some family to show up, just like in Christmas Vacation when the ominous doorbell rings and they're all chattering out on the porch and you're like, I think I'm going to go hide for a while. Maybe you're waiting on someone to come home. I want to welcome my son home from the Marines for this weekend. And so we've been waiting for him to come home for a few days. And maybe you're waiting still for a package from UPS, a last-minute gift from Amazon. You're like, I need Amazon right now. I need Amazon 5 minutes ago. That's probably coming soon where they anticipate what you need. Maybe you're waiting for direction in your life. Maybe you're waiting for a healing. Maybe you're waiting for me to stop talking. Maybe you're waiting for the season to be over so you can get back to normal. Whatever it is you're waiting for, I would ask for you to set it aside for a few minutes as we spend the next short time together watching and waiting for the miracle of Christmas, the arrival of the God of the universe as a human baby. As a church, we've spent the last 4 weeks journeying together through the season of Advent. We've been opening up the gifts of Christmas. All of the messages are at our website, picktownfc.com, if you want to catch up with us. We have opened the gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace. The word Advent means coming or arrival, and the season should be marked with anticipation, waiting. Advent is about celebrating that Jesus came and that we would remember that he is coming again. And so we join our hearts with the people before, God's people that were waiting for a Savior. We have Jesus today, but over 2,000 years ago they did not. They were lost and they were waiting. We'll get more into that. We have Jesus, but we're still waiting for him to come again to seal all things for all eternity. God gave me a scripture to read tonight that I've never heard before on Christmas Eve. And that's something that cool young pastors try to do. They try to preach a message that's never been preached. That hasn't been done. It's not possible. It's not possible. I'll hear my friends at Easter time, and they're like, I'm going to do it from the perspective of the donkey. You know, and like, no. There's no new messages. You don't really want new messages, by the way. But I've never heard this verse used. And I know why, because it's a sad verse, set of verses. But I also know why God does want me to share it with you tonight. Have you noticed that the best movies, things get worse and worse and worse until the hero comes through? This is true of A Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life, Star Wars. Tonight, I invite you into darkness, to the dark side. Why? Because in the darkness is when we can clearly see the light of Christmas, and it's in the dark times and places that God wants us to experience the gifts that Jesus offers this season. It's in the darkness that the light shines the brighter. It's in the times of darkness in your life that joy and peace and love and hope, those are when they really, really matter, right? Advent connects us to a time when God's people were in their darkest days. Israel had its peak, its zenith, its high times under the kings of Israel, of David and his son Solomon. They were the greatest superpower of their day. They ruled that area. And then beginning with Solomon's sons, it began to crumble. They began to worship other gods. They began to invite in the gods of the people groups that they conquered. They began to marry into the other cultures, and they began to watch their traditions, their beliefs, their worship, their God become more and more watered down. Does this sound familiar? Right? And what happened was just what God said would, is that as their faith eroded, as their principles eroded, as their standards eroded, their country eroded. It began by splitting into two, and then the northern kingdom got swallowed up, and then finally the southern kingdom got swallowed up. And you've heard about these names in all of your history classes that you slept through or you cheated on somebody else's test to get through. The Babylonians and all these kind of names, right? Listen to these verses from Lamentations and try not to boo me, okay? Pastors should not get booed on Christmas Eve. Lamentations 4, 1 through 9 says this: how the gold has lost its luster. Even the finest gold has become dull. The sacred gemstones lie scattered in the streets. See how the precious children of Jerusalem, worth their weight in fine gold, are now treated like pots of clay made by a common potter. Even the jackals feed their young, but not my people Israel. They ignore their children's cries like the ostriches in the desert. The parched tongues of their little ones stick to the roofs of their mouths in thirst. The children cry for bread, but no one has any to give them. The people who once ate the richest foods now beg in the streets for anything they can get. Those who once wore the finest clothes now search the garbage dumps for food. The guilt of my people is greater than that of Sodom, where utter disaster struck in a moment and no hand offered help. Our princes once glowed with health, brighter than snow, whiter than milk. Their faces were as ruddy as rubies and their appearance like fine jewels, but now their faces are blacker than soot. No one recognizes them in the streets. Their skin stick to their bones. It is as dry and hard as wood. And here's our last verse for the night. Those killed by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. Wow, Merry Christmas, everybody. Yes, I bring you Christmas cheer. Stay with me. God wants to reach your heart tonight. Why this scripture tonight? Because someone in here tonight is thirsty. You may be going through the motions, but you are exhausted and dehydrated in your heart. Someone in here tonight is hungry. You've tried everything to satisfy your soul with everything the world has to offer, but you are spiritually starving to death. Someone in here tonight feels like they are worthless instead of valuable to God and to other people. You have spent your life trying to win the approval of others, and you've settled for God's pity instead of his love. Someone in here tonight feels like they have fallen too far from God's grace. You think you've made more mistakes or worse mistakes than the people around you, and you are sure that you will be stained forever. Maybe you think the gifts of love, joy, hope, and peace are only for other people. Did you know that God likes comeback stories too? After hundreds of years of darkness, God was ready to turn on the lights in a big way. Listen to Luke 1, 26 through 33. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, a descendant of King David. When was Israel at its highlight before? Under David and his son Solomon. And there was promised that a king would rule forever from his family line. This is big news. God was turning on the light in a dark world. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Somebody say, that's better. A lot better. Advent connects us to the darkness of the time before Jesus so that we can better appreciate his arrival. You can't be saved if you don't know you need a Savior. Okay? And so some of the greatest comeback stories that I've heard of in the faith are when somebody finally hits bottom and they realize they cannot do this life on their own. And it doesn't matter if they're just lost in suburbia or if they're lost into heroin or you name it. You cannot make it through on your own. And when you hit that moment where you realize that the darkness within you is not ever going to turn to light on its own, then the light of Jesus Christ, wow, does it look beautiful. And so when this baby came, when these words came to Mary and to Joseph, and when these words came to the shepherds, and when the star appeared to the wise men, they knew what was happening. They knew the light was coming on. The truth is that all of us are in darkness of sin until we accept the love and the grace of Jesus. The good news is the true Christmas story. Christ the Savior has come to save you and to save me. Tonight I invite you to experience the greatest gift of all, the gift of God made flesh in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For to us a child is born." Hundreds of years in the middle of that dark time of Israel, this prophecy was given. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." As we arrive at Christmas Eve, we celebrate the baby wrapped in cloth. Isn't it beautiful to see these blankets ready to go to little babies? Many of you know that my oldest was 3 months early and was in the NICU at Grant. We still have her blanket that somebody donated to NICU babies. It's just a wonderful gift. It'll be a blessing to all of those parents. And so we celebrate a baby today. And we know that he was the true gift of Christmas. All the other gifts that we've been opening up this month, hope, love, joy, and peace, come from him. He is the hope bringer. He is love come down. He is the joy giver. He is the peace maker. As we have noted throughout the night, Jesus is the door to eternal life and a relationship with God. When I just said that Jesus is the peacemaker, most people don't realize that without him, their soul is actually at war with a holy God. Well, if God's so loving, how could he judge me? Well, his very holiness doesn't allow sin to be in his presence. It's just not possible. It's inconsistent with who he is. But the Bible says that he loves you so much that he provided a way to be in relationship with him. He gave us a gift called Jesus so that we can stand in his righteousness, because we could never stand in the presence of God in our own. He is the giver of life to the full, as he described in John 10:10. He is the way, the truth, and the life, as he is described in John 14:6. He is everything. He is the miracle so humble that many will miss it. He is the gift that came as a fragile infant, one of us. But he is the God so loving and powerful that he willingly stretched out his arms on a cross later in life to carry our sin, to make a way to himself. Jesus is the greatest gift of Christmas and of all eternity. As we celebrate the gift of Jesus this Christmas, may we be filled with his love, joy, peace, and hope, so that we can shine brightly in a dark world. Do you know that if you have peace in your life, you will stand out in this world? Do you know that if you have joy in your life, you will stand out in this world? If you have love in your heart in this dark world, you will stand out. It is our act of worship to receive the gifts of Jesus this Christmas, and we can respond by bringing our own worship to him. Like Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the angels, and the wise men, we rejoice at his coming, and we rejoice and worship Emmanuel, which means God with us. God loves comeback stories. Yours can begin tonight. Can we pray? Father God, I thank you for this word of hope tonight. God, I thank you that you would come in such a way that you would be a gift that would just have layers of things that would transform our lives. And so, Father God, you do this through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives after we come to you. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit are things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And Father God, as we would let you work in our hearts, as you would be allowed to plant things in the garden of our hearts, that this would be the fruit that would begin to come to the surface. And so, God, I cannot be a truly kind person without you. I cannot be a truly joyful person without you. I cannot be a person truly at peace without you. If you've never known this Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you've never accepted the gift of Jesus in your heart tonight, this is an opportunity tonight. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. If you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never crossed the line of faith in your heart to trust him as your Lord and Savior, I would be honored to pray with you tonight to open the holiest and the best of gifts. Is that you tonight? Would you raise your hand where you're at? I see that hand. Father God, we come to you. Father God, you're the source of life. And every time a soul yields to you, God, you say you celebrate with us. And you call us your son and you call us your daughter. And so, Father God, we repent of what we've done. We admit that we cannot do it on our own, and we yield to you to lead us in the future. Maybe tonight you're stuck in the darkness. Maybe tonight you're stuck facing a sickness. Maybe tonight you have a broken heart. Would you allow Jesus to touch and heal you tonight? If you have a need tonight in this place, would you just raise your hand? I want to agree with you in prayer. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see those hands. God bless you. I see those hands. This is what we're here for. This is what we're here for. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you that you have chased and chased and chased and chased your people. And Father God, just as it would come to the darkest of moments, you would double down for all of eternity and you would say, here's my son. Here's my son. I'm going to give you my very best. Father God, we receive your gift of your son tonight. We receive the gift of your love. Father God, we receive the gift of your peace. Father God, your joy and your hope. Father God, I lift up the broken hearts in this room. God, I lift those that would be facing sickness, God. Father God, I lift up those that would be facing addiction. God, I lift up those that would be just facing depression and hopelessness and despair. Father God, I pray that a wave of your love would roll over this place in this moment.